and some things in the Old Testament. But tonight I think I'm just going to look at Hebrews for a moment. I'm just going to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and something that we know a lot about and we don't know at the same time. I want to look in Hebrews chapter 9 and let's see. And I'm also looking in Hebrews chapter 4 and looking at Christ. But the main point I want to look at tonight is in Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 4. Let's see, where's my one scripture? Look at 9 and 11 actually, and let's see. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come in chapter 9. And the other verse that I want to look at, there's one scripture in particular I was reading before it came up, and I'll find it in just a moment. But just look in chapter 9. Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by the greater and more perfect tabernacle made by, not made by hands, I should say, not in this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I still need my scripture. There it is. Okay, I got it. All right. When we look at Christ, we look at the blood of Jesus. That's just so annoying. When we look at Christ, we look at the blood of Jesus for the remission of sins. It is God who has decided that for the sins and the things that I've committed, for the deeds that I've committed, the price is that he requires is blood, because life is in the blood and life flows in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, it says in the Word of God, there's no remission for sins. The one verse that I'm looking at tonight that I'm going to deal with, and I was going someplace else, but I was expecting someone else, and I want to look at the one verse that says, if we in 10 and 26, but if we sin willingly, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That's where I'm working my way to. Since the time of Adam and Eve, God has always required that in order for sins to be forgiven, not sin. The power and spirit of sin itself, the entity that causes us to be sinners and brings about death and came about with the in the garden, that's sin, S-I-N. That's what is in us that causes us to be wrong to start with.
Mm-hmm, yes.
We're born with that before we do anything. Now, God is fair, and he is faithful, because someone said, and I used to say this myself, if you don't get a young even when babies are born, they're born sinners unless they can be saved. You know, I said, that's not true. You, God gives mercy and grace at least to the point where they're able to be cognizant of sin.
Yes.
And the example that we know that he does that is because he did that even for Cain.
Yeah.
He asked Cain, do you know what you've done?
Yes.
Cain, you know, and Cain not knowing. So God doesn't hold him. He says, can't really hold him responsible because he doesn't know what he's, he doesn't, there's nothing that says at this point that you shouldn't kill.
Yes.
Although your conscience should have told you not to, but we won't hold this against you directly because no law yet. You know, even before God, not just law of Moses. But sin itself is the is what we are born in. That's what we that's what we get delivered from. Mm-hmm. The power and the spirit of sin itself, which causes us to commit sins, S-I-N-S, which are the deeds that are the manifestation of sin itself. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they fell into sin itself. They allow themselves to succumb to the power of sin, the power of sin, and in disobeying God, once they had done that, they couldn't undo it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things, and it's like, I guess I just have to use it. It's probably the best example I can give. It's like being a virgin. Once you have sex the first time, you're no longer that.
Amen.
You can't undo it.
Can't undo it.
Male or female.
No.
It's done.
It's done.
Done. Whether you did it after you were married like you should, or whether you did it before you were married, once you've done it, you've done it.
Yes.
Once you've ever told a lie, you become a liar.
A liar. Yes.
And it's done. It's something that you can't undo. There is no adjustment for it, and it has the only way that you come clean from it is a work of God.
Yes.
Once you commit sins, in order for God to forgive you, the price for the remission of sins is blood.
Yes.
Bloodshed, or the life that comes in bloodshed. So without the shedding of blood is no remission, as it says in chapter 9 for a moment. And it says in here about verse number 21, talk about Moses in the temple. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission, or no remission for sin. Without shedding of blood, no remission of sins. Also, when it does this, it talks about being sanctified, because when you sanctify something, you purify it unto God. So the blood is necessary, but in ours, in Hebrews in particular, as he goes back and forth and he compares it to the Levitical priesthood, what they did in the natural, we do in the spirit. So we don't come in on Sunday morning with lambs and sheep and goats and all the different things that we would have to sacrifice and bury and bound and do all those, you know, and burn. We don't have to do all those things.
Praise the Lord.
And I thank God for that, because the only blood that God accepts is the blood of Jesus. Now, here's the point. He never accepted any blood but Jesus' blood.
Yes.
All the other blood that was shed was a replica or represented or when symbolic of Jesus' blood. And if it was shed by anyone other than in the name of Jesus, or representing God's Son that would come, the Messiah that would come, the Christ that would come, then it was shed in vain. It was unto idols and to idol gods. It's always been the sinless blood of Jesus, because the blood of a lamb who could not commit sins could never be shed for the remission of my sins. So then when we get to the point where we are now, when Christ dies, he sheds his precious sinless blood, which in the 12th chapter of Hebrews shows up again, because it lets you know that his blood is in heaven. And with this blood of Jesus, all the sins of the whole world, it counts and qualifies to set free from all the sins of the whole world. In other words, Every evil deed that anyone has ever done, the blood of Jesus is sufficient to set you free from, if you will recognize that that blood has been shed for your own individual sins.
Amen.
But it must be, but in order for that to work for you, first of all, you have to recognize that the God of heaven, Jehovah God, is God.
Yes.
And then you have to recognize that his Son, who is also God, who is divine, is the Christ, the Son of God, who is the Savior of the whole world. Then you have to recognize most specifically that he not only died and was buried, but he resurrected from the dead and lived because of the life of him. And then you also have to recognize that he lived a life completely, as it says in Romans. He condemned sin in the flesh. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. But he condemned sin in the flesh. How did he condemn sin in the flesh? By not doing it.
Right, yes.
And if you don't understand what we mean when we say he condemned sin by not doing it, it's like this. Anytime someone is doing something wrong and you come up and you are right and you catch them doing it, the guilt that they feel because they're wrong, you have condemned them by not doing it. In other words, your being right shows them being wrong.
Yes.
Your being right shows them being wrong.
Yes.
So then, Jesus being one who lived completely without any sin, in other words, never did anything wrong, that means he never disobeyed Mary and Joseph. He was never in a place he was not supposed to be. He never allowed the peer pressure of his friends to cause him to do something that he, no matter what mischief they were in. You say, well, none of Jesus' friends were in mischief. No, I'm sure they were because weren't without sin.
Yeah, yeah.
Then every time that someone did something, if they raided somebody's fig orchard or whatever and stole the figs or whatever and Jesus refused to go along with it, he condemned them.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Each thought that we have in our minds, the iniquity of our minds, and let me plug this in real quick. I heard somebody say something again recently that I hear people say a lot, and I just can't agree with you on this. I keep hearing people say, you know, the Bible says, he that looks on a woman and lusts for her in his heart, is guilty of adultery already. I agree because the Bible says it, but let me get you to understand what it means by that. When it says that you lust for this woman in your heart, that means you've made up your mind you're going to do that.
Yes.
Anything I give my heart over to is not just a desire or something that I'm attracted to. When I give my heart to it, I have become a part of that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to see that through if I possibly can.
Yeah.
That's where it's going. Because if it's simply a matter of anything I desire, anything I think of in my heart, I may as well have done it. Do you know how many people I would have killed already?
Yes.
Or you would have killed?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Say, well, you thought it, you may as well have done it. Do you know how many things I would have said because I thought them?
Yes.
And at the time, really wanted to say them. So you may as well say them because you wanted to say, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
When it says that you have given your heart to it, to lust after in your heart, that means you have made up your mind like David did with Bathsheba. I'm going to have this woman.
Yeah.
That's what that means. James says that when lust hath conceived.
Yes.
When lust hath conceived. When you've given life to it. When lust hath. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust has conceived. So when it says if you've lusted in your heart, that means you've given yourself over to this person or this thing, whatever it is, and it doesn't leave your mind, and you're in love with it, and so much that it now has become a part of you. It's become a part of you, and it's in here. Whether you get around to it or not, it's here. It's not just looking at some woman walking down the street, some man walking down the street, and for a moment, of, you know, you're attracted, and, hey, whatever thoughts weasel through your mind, hey, you, that's not the same as that. Well, you may as well have just gone and, no, it doesn't, it's not there. Because when you keep on walking, the thought abates, and you go on, and sometimes you rebuke the devil, you do a lot of things. There are a lot of thoughts that come to our mind that we have to rebuke.
Yes, you're right.
There are a lot of things you think that you have to rebuke, so you have to be... So people have to be very careful how to use that one. Now, you want to know why people use it in that way? They use it as an excuse to sin.
Yeah.
Because they say, well, I may as well go on and do it then because I thought it. No.
Yeah.
No, don't go there.
I know that's all about robbing the bank.
I tell you, every time I see a Briggs truck, thought it crosses my mind. God, I wonder, you know. But you know, it's just a thought.
Yeah.
It says specifically, lusted in your heart, which means in your spirit, in your, you know, it has become something embedded in you. Hey, you know, you're like, I use David, but the example I should have used really was Amnon and Tamar. I mean, the boy got sick because he wanted the girl so bad. He couldn't rest because he wanted her so bad. And finally, he went out and found and took her.
Yeah,
he did. He went out and raped her. I mean, he just couldn't, you know. Ahab and the vineyard that he wanted.
Yeah.
He just got sick. He wanted this man's vineyard so bad. So Jezebel went out there and killed a man, had the man killed, and got it for him. But I mean, he just really, you know, that's what, when it says lust in your heart, that means you, it's got a hold of you.
Yeah.
There are many things that we desire, but we know, hey, you know, this, you know, we can't, that's not going to happen. And so to make up your mind that every time you do that. So I just thought I'd put that plug in there. Now let's get back to this plug. So then sins are because I'm born with this affinity or this draw to sin. And this is something saints need to understand, because God does. This is why when we were, you know, and I was listening to John Weaves the other week, and he was going through the whole drill, you know, and rightly so. This is why when we were sinners, having done sin makes you a sinner. Mm-hmm. You know, we were born sinners because Adam had already fallen into sin. When we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We were ungodly.
Yes.
And if Christ wasn't going to die until we got godly, he'd have never died, because we couldn't get godly until he made us ungodly. Until he made us godly. So he had to die for us when we were ungodly. When we were yet sinners, when we were in sin, when we were enemies of God. And we need to understand, all of us need to understand that, and also the people who come. And nothing more do we need to explain to people who are trying to come to God. Well, I need to get myself right. Yes, that's why you need to come to God. You'll never get yourself right until you do.
Yes, that's right.
You can't sanctify yourself.
Yes, yes.
You need God to do that. And, and you can't cleanse yourself of sins. God has to do that. The blood has to do that. And so he writes in Hebrews in several different places. That's why I was kind of putting it together tonight. I did go through this before, so it isn't like something I didn't read earlier today. In 13, he talks about the blood of the 13 and 14. He talks about if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling them clean. 9 and 13, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. And this is, and he keeps going. I want us to understand when you study Hebrews, you have to have some knowledge of Leviticus. And I'm speaking to people who weren't saved last week, so I expect you to have some knowledge of Leviticus, because Leviticus in the Old Testament, it was it's explained in verse 9 and 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. I want us to look at the word patterns, because in Hebrews, when you see the temple service and the temple worship with the animals being cut and slaughtered and laid out, and the blood being sprinkled on the altars and the brazen altars and on the thumbs of Aaron and his son and on the big toes and all the things purified by blood, which every time represented the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless blood that was a payment, the ransom for sin. Then in the times that we're in crisis time, those things that they literally took the basin of blood and sprinkled on the altar and sprinkled it on this and rubbed on Aaron's thumbs and did all this, and the blood that was actually used and came from the animals, that blood for us is in the Spirit. It is the blood that Christ took to heaven, and it is applied to us by the Spirit.
Yes, praise the Lord.
The blood is applied to me by the Spirit.
Yes.
Just like Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is applied to me by the Spirit. It is imputed to me by the Spirit. That's why when I'm born again, I am born of the Spirit. I don't enter again into my mother's womb, as he told John the Baptist. I am born of the Spirit. The Spirit gives me new life, and the Holy Spirit baptizes me afresh. So in this also, he says, just like in the old one, it was to the purifying of the flesh, in other words, when I was wrong, I could bring a turtle dove or whatever it took and get right. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, offered himself without spot to God, and when he went to the cross, he made himself a sacrifice without ever having been in sin.
Yes.
Without ever having been in sin. And we are the biggest defenders of ourselves.
Yep.
We will very quickly let you know, hey, I don't deserve this. You know, we can be very defensive when we don't even need to be. And everything is an attack on us. We feel like we have anything to be attacked for. Offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In other words, it says the blood of Jesus Christ sets my conscience free. Mm-hmm. It's knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ paid the ransom for my sins that causes me to know that I'm no longer condemned and I'm no longer guilty before God. Now on earth, you do some things on earth. There's earth has its own judgment, and you can end up paying the penalty. But you know, and because of the society we're in, and because of God's governmental judgment, God's not going to stop that. You kill somebody, you're going to go to jail, and you need to.
Yes.
There's no reason why you should be able to do that and not, because even though God has forgiven you, you have done that.
Yes.
And someone would say, well, you know, I think everything should work out. I put it like this. There are many things that you do on the earth in sin that don't get taken care of. If you're somewhere out messing around and get your leg shot off, God will forgive you. You can be a preacher, but you know what? You're still going to end up having a...
Father Roger said you
can't hear you.
You're still going to end up having... did you turn my mic off?
No, I didn't touch anything.
Have y'all heard me all night? What's going on here? That's what mic we're using.
I hope everybody else didn't see.
Oh, you turned my mic off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Got me now? Test. Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's fine.
Thank you.
There are many things that we do in sin and in life that you paid a penalty for.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Even though God has forgiven you, you can mess up your life, especially in your young life, and there's some things you never recover from.
Yes.
And God has forgiven you, and you go into eternal life, and it's good, but you have to live with that.
Yes.
You know, that's just...
That's what it is.
You know, for the rest of the time you're on earth, there's much that you do. So then... But his blood, when the blood of Jesus is applied to us, it sets my conscience free. It purges my conscience.
Yes.
And it, in other words, you know, when I come to God, I have this long list. When you really come to God, some people don't really come. But when you really come to God and when you understand the goodness of God, then you start to understand what is wrong before God.
Yes.
And I was going to talk tonight, if I talked about Solomon, I was going to talk about there must be a difference between holy and unholy, and, clean and unclean. But when you really allow the Lord to do it, and a lot of us, some of us don't ever grow to the point where we do it, and others just won't allow the Lord to do it, you start to realize what is wrong and what is not,
right,
what is wrong.
Yes, yes.
Before God. And then you start praying for deliverance, because many times, even though you know something is wrong, you can't just stop.
Yes.
Because you're born in sin.
Yes.
And you have help. Even when people are saved, they have help. Just because you get saved doesn't stop demons from tormenting you.
No, it doesn't. No.
You have to grow to a point where you actually have to come to a point where you refuse, since we now live in the Spirit and Christ has already come and died, and it's not like before, you know, like the man in tombs. You have to actually start to get to a point where you refuse to allow demons to live with you.
Yes,
get out.
I read an article one time in Facebook where the person said, you can't get rid of your demons as long as you enjoy their company.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
You cannot get rid of your demons as long as you enjoy their company.
That's true.
But the blood of Jesus is there for the remission of sins if we will ask God to apply it. Here it is, another one. You must ask God to apply the blood for you.
Yes.
And he will do it willingly. But you must ask. It's called repentance.
Yes.
When you repent of something, you are asking the Lord, when you say, Father, forgive me, in the name of Jesus, you're asking him to say, let the blood stand for me. There is the blood.
Yes.
So when we look in verse number chapter 9 and verse number 22, it says, in almost all things by the law purged by blood, without the shedding of blood is no remission. And then one more. 10 and 26. That is not the one I wanted.
So if we sin willfully.
Yeah, that's one of them. But there's another one I wanted.
4 and 6.
4 and 6.
I don't know. It's the reference.
What scripture specifically?
There is one that says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but it's not that particular one. There's another one. And I looked them up before I came up there.
It uses the word. Go ahead, forgive me. Please.
Oh, yeah. It's 10 and 16.
This is coming out right with the end of the end right now.
Yeah. Start at 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make to them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. That's the one I wanted to get to. And I'm in 10 and 16. And he says, and now that we have not the law of Moses, which was written on tablets of stone, but now, as Jesus said to the woman in the world, well, now what we're supposed to do is written in our heart or in our spirit.
Yes.
It is given to us so that we no longer have to do that. And he says, not only has God given it to us, he says, but our sins and iniquities he would forgive and remember no more.
Mm-hmm.
And when it says down here, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. In other words, it says, where Jesus has washed away our sins, we don't need any other sacrifice.
Yes.
When we have Jesus coming in, and this is what he's writing to the Hebrews specifically, because they wanted to keep offering up animals. When Jesus washes those things and washes away our sins, and with the blood of Jesus, we don't need any other sacrifice.
No.
Yeah.
There's nothing else required.
That's it, the blood.
Yes.
And I mean, and this works both ways, because we are always trying to make people do more things. God, you know, everything from telling people they're not safe, they don't run around to all meetings.
Yes.
And some people genuinely believe that.
Yes.
And we have so many things that we add on to people that are good to do.
Yes.
And I don't say don't do them. Many of them, but they are not a point of whether you're saved or not.
No.
Because you can do them all day long and never be in Christ.
And never be in Christ. That's right.
I've heard people say, well, if you got the Holy Ghost, you'll have a dance. Show me that in the Word of God.
God, it's not there.
It is good to have a good Holy Ghost step, but it is not a requirement nor a sign of whether you're saved or not. It says that you have joy and this is how you worship and how you praise, but it is not a requirement. And I wish people would stop preaching that to people.
Yes.
Because we've reached a point now where people are educated, and when you're trying to get them to at least hear the word of God and be filled with the Spirit, you need to be honest and tell the truth, because they read.
Yes.
That's right.
When you tell them something like that, you discredit yourself, because they say, I don't see that in my Bible nowhere.
That's right. Yep.
And aside from all that, the Holy Ghost only certifies the word of God, not yours.
Yes.
When you do an invention on your own, something that works for you, and God might use it for you, but you can't make that just be God and cover everybody.
Right. Yes.
Any more that you can say, this music is of God, every other music is not. No, God uses music depending on the culture, the type of people, the character, and everything else.
Yes.
Now, there is all music of God. Absolutely not. Yeah. But God's music comes in all flavors, races, colors, creeds, cultures, you name it. What do we have a problem with tonight? Why are we getting this turned on?
Somebody keeps turning that.
Okay, let me turn this off and make it stay off.
Off.
I know. It should be able to mute it so it doesn't come back on, but
make sure somehow
it's
you
turn on the mic. It keeps coming. I mean, so when we look at the blood of Jesus, and we look at it, he says in this, where the blood of Jesus is, there's no more sacrifice of sins. Now, so why do I need to know that? Because when I ask God to forgive me, and I really mean it with this same heart, this is the reason why you have to understand about lusting in your heart. When you ask God with your whole heart to forgive you, you don't need to do anything else.
Yes, that's right.
You don't have to do penance. You don't have to bow three times to the east. You don't have to tarry in the spirit.
Yes.
You don't have to, you know, to be honest, I'm going to tell you the truth, you don't have to go before the whole church on earth and tell everybody you're sorry.
Yes, right.
You know, we make a big issue about that, where you need to go before the church and tell them you're sorry. I don't see any place where I have to do that either.
No.
I'm a firm believer in giving people time, and in time, when the Lord says so, let them preach out their own testimony and use it for the glory of God. But just to tell somebody, now you get up and tell the church you're sorry. You know, I've seen people get up and tell the church they're sorry, and they come with tears, and you know what they do afterwards? They leave.
That's right.
Because you're embarrassed.
Because they're embarrassed, yes.
And they got up and told you, and you know what else? They feel justified in leaving. I told them I was sorry, and I don't want anyone else to do it.
Oh, that's right. And they're mad, yeah.
You know, okay, I apologize to all y'all, now leave me alone.
Yes.
There's no place where I see, you know, and if you want to use the scripture where it says, confess your faults one to another. That means that I need to have someone that I trust enough, like, Brother Ford sitting up there, he and I are close, been living on each other forever, and I can say to him, you know, I really don't feel like praying this week. And he's in God, he understands, he says, you know what, man, sometimes I don't feel like praying either.
Yeah.
And he says, but he'll give me a word of comfort, he'll say, but you know what, we have to pray though, because the Lord's going, you know, and I say, you know what, that's right. And then when I'm really going through, I'm saying, buddy, I'm really having a really hard time. Me and Ellen Smith doing it, I say, Ellen Smith, I'm really having, you know, really got something on my mind. Nellie Smith would pray for me, and that's what it means, because the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
That means that when I have confessed my faults and said, hey, you know, I'm really struggling this week, they start praying for me, and I start getting better.
Yes, support right.
Support one another. It is not that I get up and tell everybody especially I don't need to tell you about sins that I've been forgiven for, because they have been done away with.
Yes.
And if God doesn't remember them anymore, why do I need to tell you about it?
Right, yes.
Good point.
Mm. I told God, why do I need to tell you?
Yes.
I've heard people even get up and tell people in prayer, like, now you need to confess every sin you've ever done. Well, you know what I got to say? I didn't know everything I was doing was sin.
That's right.
And many of the things that people do that are sin, they haven't stopped doing yet. They've been saved 30, 40, 50 years, and they're still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mean people.
Because envy is a sin.
Yes.
Jealousy is a sin.
Sin.
Yeah. Lying is a sin. Yeah. Being overly competitive, emulation is a sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wrath is a sin. Yeah. Malice is a sin. Yeah. Vengeance is a sin.
Yes.
And I know people who've been sitting around on their way to heaven and they're just holy, 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 been doing it forever. Now, my point being is, but the blood forgives, the blood cleanses us from all of them.
Yeah.
But you need to ask God to apply the blood.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
Forgive me. Because when I saw such and such, you know, envy almost overtook me. And Lord, you not only do you need to forgive me, but you need to help me. I need to get rid of that.
Yeah, yes.
And I need some help.
Yes.
If you're my age and you're still an envious person, buddy, you need to ask the Lord to deliver you.
Yes.
Because you got help.
Yep.
Yes. If you're my age and you're still being jealous of people in the house of God, you know what you need to do?
Yes.
You need to ask God to help you.
Yes.
If you're my age and you haven't learned yet to stop losing your temper and acting silly with people, you need to ask God not only to forgive you, you need to ask for help. But you know what they don't do?
They don't.
I'm not going to ask God to forgive me because I've decided I'm all right like that.
Yes.
Then you want to turn around and tell someone who just got saved last week, you need to allow the Lord to wash you.
Yes.
And you do.
Yes.
So for the people who would come in, for sinners, for all of them, they need to know, first of all, there are no perfect people in church. Our perfection is in God.
Yes.
Right.
Our righteousness is in
God. Yes.
We are what we are by the grace of God. That we are no longer whatever we were. We're no longer cussing, temper losing, vain, whatever we are. It's because of what God has done. We are His workmanship. It's His deliverance that we have. And our separation from those things is because of the blood of Jesus. Because of His powerful death, His powerful resurrection, we are separated from the power of sin. And we know that. We know that we don't have to sin. That's something in itself. We know that we're free. Whom the Son says free is free indeed. And if you allow yourself to be brought into bondage of any of it, I was reading this the other day too, when it was talking about being allowed in Galatians, allowing yourself to be brought under the bondage of sin.
Yeah.
You've been set free, but you allow yourself to be brought into it.
Yes.
You allow things to come in your life that you know when you touch them, they're not God.
Yeah.
So then this is what he means when he says in the other verse, if we sin willingly. If we allow ourselves to be drawn into something that we're not supposed to be in, and we know that the blood cleanses us, and we know that Christ is there to set us free, and we allow ourselves to go into it without asking the Lord to forgive us and the Lord to deliver us, then what do you want us to do? God is saying,
fall in the hands of the Lord.
You know, what other sacrifice is there? You already know before you go, you know, before you get into something, you know it, you already know what's wrong. And you cannot sin for what you're going to do. And you cannot
repent.
You can't repent for what you're going to do.
Yes.
Because the Holy Ghost always says, don't do it in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart.
Yes.
So when it comes down to the blood of Jesus, and I was talking to a lady today and I was telling her, come to service tonight, and she's, you know, they're homeless living out in the woods, and I was saying to her, you know, there's not a homeless person around here that God wouldn't deliver and lift up and bring out if they would come to God and stay.
And stay.
Not just come in here and sit in the back and wait till the end of the service so you can come out and ask us for a dollar. That ain't getting it.
Yes.
It's not that. You need to come and give yourself to God just like I've given myself to God.
Yes.
And let God bless you just like God has blessed me. And stop playing around, you know, eating the crumbs from the master's table.
Right.
And, you know, the saints are being blessed and the saints are blessing you, but you don't want to have anything to do with God. The lady in the Syrophoenician woman, that woman came to Jesus and she stayed.
Yes.
You know, you have all these, because this is what the blood is for.
Yes.
You know, we are, this is why when it says in John chapter 3, Jesus came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him may be saved.
Yes.
He didn't have to condemn the world. It was condemned before he came.
That's right.
And when he came, he didn't come to just say to people, you're a sinner and you're just lost. He came to say to them, you're a sinner, but you can be saved.
Yes.
You can be delivered. You can be brought out. And they would say, well, how will I go about it? How many lambs shall I bring? How many goats shall I bring? And the answer was, none.
Yes.
My blood suffices.
Yes.
It's already been shed.
Yes.
Whether you use it or not, it is there.
Mm.
Whether you ask God to forgive you or not, I've already done the work for you to be forgiven.
Yes.
It isn't, you know, it's not a work that you should do. It's not the, I have to come and do this and do this. I have never asked anybody to come to this church and do anything. The only thing I ever ask them to do is come and be saved.
Yes.
Let the Lord save you. I'm not even big on one of these things of the Lord saved you here, so you need to be here. I would hope that if you come in and God saved you, you stay. But you know what? If you want to get saved here and go live for God someplace down the street, if you can do that, go do it.
Do it. Amen.
Just stay saved.
Yes.
I'm not the pressure type. This is where God got you. This is where you're supposed to stay.
No.
There are many reasons to be someplace else.
Yes.
But you have to make sure that you can do that and still be
saved.
Yes. You do. Mm. The blood is applied. So when I look at tonight, so let me finish my last scripture for tonight. So then in 10 and 22. Starting at 19. Having then, therefore, brethren, the boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
Having the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In other words, when it says boldness, it doesn't mean brashness. It means being willing to enter into the holiest of God by the blood of Jesus. I come to God asking him to forgive me of my sins because of the blood that Jesus has shed.
Yes.
Not because of what you think of me. Not because of how you see me. You see, we have to always understand that our sins are forgiven and are omitted because of the blood.
Yes.
And when I come to God, I come in the name of Jesus. I'm asking him to apply to me the blood that Jesus shed.
Yes.
That's the reason why it says, if I'm not coming to God asking him to apply the blood, if I'm going to come to God and I'm going to show up and I'm not willing for him to cleanse me, let me put the blood, then there's no remission of sins. There remains no more sacrifice. I'll give you the parable that Jesus gave. You remember the parable that Jesus gave of the wedding feast that the man had, and he invited people. Number one, they wouldn't come.
Yes.
And then he had them go out and find just people in the street and bring them in. In other words, it was showing the Jews and Gentiles. The Gentiles were the preferred guests, but they wouldn't come.
Yes.
I mean, the Jews were the preferred guests. They wouldn't come. Then the Gentiles were the people in the street who he, at this particular wedding, he wasn't going to call, but now I've got the food, the table's spread. Let's just bring whoever will come in and eat. Then when they come in, goodness gracious, it's good to read the word of God because Zechariah comes. When they come in, he has for every one of them a wedding dress, outfit.
Yes.
Clean them up.
Yes.
So that they are dressed properly for dinner.
Yes, yes.
Because there's a dress code.
Yes.
And he can't expect them to do this unless he gives them what they need.
Yes.
When you come to God, the Lord brings you in and the Lord cleans you up. He does this in the spirit. He forgives you by the blood and purges your conscience by the blood. This blood is something, isn't it?
Yes.
And then, you know, he welcomes you to the welcome table, and every benefit that God has, it is available to you.
Yes.
Every benefit that God has, it is available to you. Healing, deliverance. You know, people who go for a long time and God not delivered, because you don't want to be delivered.
Yes.
You're not trying to be delivered, and sometimes you can fool us, and sometimes we're enablers. We enable you to keep doing what you're doing when God is trying to break you to a point where you will come to God.
Yes.
We keep picking you up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Getting in the way.
And we're helping you not come to God.
Yes.
You need to fall, crash and burn. When you say you know the Lord, there's a difference.
Yep. You're right.
There's some people who've never heard of God, like the woman at the well. Those you save with compassion.
Yes.
There are some people who know all about God and won't come to God. Those you pull out the fire.
Yes.
And there is a difference.
Yes.
So then when these people come to this wedding and the man makes sure that they have everything they need, here's one person who says, I'm here to eat, But I'm not going to get dressed.
Yeah.
And it's not like he didn't have something to put on because the master gave him to him. That's like saying, okay, I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to repent.
Yeah,
I'm not going to change.
No.
I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
The blood is there, but hey, you know, I don't want these sins remitted because I'm going to keep on doing them. And you can't be forgiven for what you continue to do.
Yes.
Yeah. In order to repent, you have to stop doing it.
Yes.
So then this man says, I'm not going to change clothes. And he says, friend, he's still nice. He says, why haven't you gotten dressed? And the man says, obviously, I don't want to. And you know what he says? Throw him out. And Jesus says, and those who won't come will be cast into outer darkness. Mm-hmm. You won't repent.
Yes.
You won't accept the blood. Mm-hmm. You won't allow the blood to change you. You're pretending. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're saying you're in God, but nothing in your life ever changes. Listen, everybody in whom the Holy Ghost dwells, whether they're strong sinners, whether they're strong saints, weak saints, in-between saints, babe saints, intermediate saints, mature saints, or whatever, everybody who's in God knows that the Lord changes your life.
Yes, yes.
Then we must never turn around and enable someone by claiming, by letting them say they're in God, but God isn't working things out for them. God either works things out for you, or he's working things out for you, or he's working with you so he can work things out for you. But God always makes a positive difference.
Yes.
Always.
Always, yes.
Always. Well, I'm just going through like I'm Job. No, you're not a Job. You're not being tried because God trusts you enough to put you on, to allow the devil to try you. Do you know what sort of person you have to be for God to trust you that much?
Yeah.
Then you're the kind of person that when the people came to accuse him, they're telling the truth about you. You are doing something you have no business doing. But the blood of Jesus, if we will come and allow the blood to wash us and cleanse us, as he says, and it's in this last verse in 4:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And here again we have this heart again. In other words, let us draw near with our whole self, fully engaged, diligently, not performing, not pretending. You don't have places in your life that you don't want God. Just let me be honest with everybody. You might not be as delivered as you need to be in God. Everybody look up at me. Everybody there look up at me. You might not be delivered from everything that you need to be delivered from in God. But you ought not want anything in your life that you need to be delivered from God not to touch.
Yeah, that's true.
If you haven't been delivered yet, keep praying and asking God. But you must not ever say, well, I'm not delivered and I don't want God to touch that. You have to always want it to be gone.
Yes.
You can't play a game with God and be in a situation and God with all his delivering power who would set you free. And the reason why you're not is not because God's power, his arms are too short, as it says, that God can't deliver, and or he's not with you, his face is turned from you, as it says in one scripture, I think it's Isaiah. He says it's because he says your sins have separated me. In other words, it's not that I can't deliver, it's not that I can't bring you out, but there's something between me and you that you won't let the blood take care of.
Yes.
The blood would wash that away.
Yes.
But you have said to me, I want you to save me, I want you to redeem me, but I'm going to keep this.
Yeah.
And God is saying, then you have to make a choice. Is it that or me?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it that or me? I can't let you just keep this, because if I say to you, you can have eternal life, and you just keep this, then I have to say to Satan, who's the devil, who is Lucifer, you can come too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because God is a righteous judge.
Yes.
And every person that I have condemned to hell Because they won't repent of sins. If you're not going to repent and I let you in, then it's only fair that I do the same for all of them. Which I am not going to do because I gave you the blood to set you free.
Amen. Yes.
I gave you a way to be redeemed.
Yes.
And not only did I give you the blood to set you free from the sins, I also gave you the blood. The blood is also there to purge your conscience so you won't miss it.
Yes.
To change you so you won't love it. If you'll let me, I'll remove all those things that you love that you can't get rid of. I'll help you out.
Yes.
I'll do like David said. I'll help you out with someone that's too strong for you.
Yeah,
so that you're able to come to me and be delivered, if you will let me. But if you insist on being this, then there's nothing I can do. I am not going to cause you to do anything against your free will.
Yeah.
And we have to know when people are, as it said, if they're willing to be in sin. When it says if we sin willingly, if you are willing to stay in sin, then there's no sacrifice that will help you.
Yes.
If we sin willingly, means if you are willing to remain in sin, you know what's wrong and you're...
You don't want to let it go. You want to be in sin.
Then there's nothing...
Yes.
There's no, there remains no more sacrifice. There's nothing that will help you.
There's no forgiveness.
Because the blood is there if you are willing to repent. And his powerful death and resurrection are there to give you new life if you're willing to have new life.
Yes.
But if you insist on staying the way you are, which is what all sinners do until you can convince them about God.
Yes.
The lady I was talking to in the camp, hey, the blood is here.
Yes.
Deliverance is here.
Yes.
God is here, if not in this church and all many other churches in the city. But you want to stay out there in the woods.
Yes. Yes.
Because you don't want the one
thing. Yes.
Sacrifice for sin. And there's only one.
Mm-hmm.
You would like for God to give you another one that doesn't have quite as many requirements.
Yeah.
You know, you want good, better, best.
Yes.
And you just like to have the good salvation, not the great
salvation. So great.
You know, so that you can, you don't want the upgrade. It is the blood. So we don't do anybody a service by telling them, listen, you know, if we won't say to them, but listen, God will forgive you of all your sins and God will wash and cleanse you. I tried, God. No, you have not.
Not, yes.
Not with a sincere heart. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our hearts sprinkled. In other words, a change of life. The blood has come and sanctified us, and the blood has come and washed us, and the blood has come and purged our conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Here referring to, they says just physical cleanness. I don't agree. It's referring to the washing of the water of the word. My life has been changed so that the things I do with this body, my body is a temple for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
This body has been washed with the clean water, the washing of the water of the word of God, the washing and renewing and regeneration of the word of God. The blood has purged me and cleansed me. The God has given and the Lord has set me free.
Yes.
And that, it doesn't have anything to do with everybody standing. Anybody on earth, you know, it's not something you buy, not something you do, something God has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is receive it. Freely he has given it, freely you need to receive it. Freely he has given it, freely you need to receive it. We need to encourage everybody. Listen, Jesus saves.
Yes, he does.
You know, that needs to start being our answer more than everything else. We like to give a lot of wisdom. I'm in a position where people ask me for things all at once. What do you think about this? What do you want to do about this? But the bottom line is, Jesus saves.
Yes.
And anything you need from me in the way of wisdom or whatever, it starts with you accepting that it comes from God.
Yes.
If you want wisdom from anybody else other than God, you need to go to somebody who's a professional counselor, clinician, you know, whatever it is. That ain't me. You want to ask from me, it has to come from here.
That's right.
And it starts with you repenting.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, what are we praying for?
I just want prayer that since with this new VP, I really need us to win this bid that we just put in.
Okay.
For everybody involved.
All right.
And God knows what I'm talking about.
All right. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I told you when you got this job, I said, you know, you need a Joseph job.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph's job was such that everything he touched prospered. But you got to be a Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a Joseph, if you want to be so that everything in your hands prosper, you got to be a Joseph.
Joseph, yes.
And you have to, well, that's enough of that. You have to be a Joseph.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless us. So let me hold your hands. I pray, Lord, you bless. I'm trying to get out of the habit of touching people on their heads because a lot of people have a problem with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know you don't, but I'm trying to do it for my own sake.
Yes.
Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we ask you for Minister Smith. She asked, Lord, that you would bless her as you bless Joseph so that whatsoever she would put her hands to would prosper. Lord, I pray, Lord, even as I ask this request, Lord, that first of all, Lord, that she would be someone, Lord, that you would touch her yourself, oh God. Strengthen her in spirit that she would be the sort of person that Joseph was, so that you would bless her like you blessed him. And Lord, that you would give her of your spirit like you gave Joseph, so that you would bless her like you blessed him. And Lord, whatsoever Joseph touched prospered, and all those around him prospered. Lord, even when he was in prison, they prospered. And Lord, I pray that you'd make it so that because you have made a way into this company, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And because you've made a way into this company through Minister Smith, because wherever she is, the kingdom of heaven is there because you dwell in her. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd cause her to prosper and cause her job to prosper. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, make a way, Lord, that they would know that she serves the true and the living God. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Tamia's in the back. Lord, touch Elder Smith. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of God. That's fine. We can do this. By the power of God. Lord, by your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, touch Elder Smith in her back.
Yes.
And in her body. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, the healing power that healed the woman who was bowed over in her body, Lord, for all those years. Lord, touch her with the finger of God that she would be loosed from this infirmity. In other words, Lord, that she would be set free, Lord, and loose this back and these muscles and these spasms. In the name of Jesus. Lord, move by the power of the Holy Spirit and move in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, that Elder Reed would be loosed from these allergies. And all that brings them about, Lord, the spirits, be they spirits or demons or whatever brings about these allergies, Lord, be it physical, Lord, because of these mortal bodies. Lord, heal this mortal body so that she is no longer subject to these allergies in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know what to do. I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, that you would bring healing into her life. And Lord, whatever she needs to be set free from, Lord, that she would not have them, whatever needs to be healed, Lord, however it would be. Lord, I pray that you'd heal her tonight in Jesus' name.
Jesus, holy name.
Lord, bless Timaeus in the name of Jesus. And Lord, touch him in his body and make him whole in Jesus' name. Hold your hands up. In the name of Jesus. Lord, make him all the way whole. And Lord, set him free from these allergies if he have any remaining, oh God. And Lord, bless him. Raise him up in the house of God and anoint him in Jesus' name. And give him a mind to sing and to do those things in the house of God and bless him all the days of his life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And bless him and keep him during the summer that he should have, Lord, a very good time. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the saints of God who are on Zoom, oh God. Lord, bless Elder Rogers. Lord, bless Brother Ford, oh God. Bless Sister Nancy. And bless Elder Tiangela and Sister Indy, oh God. Bless them in Jesus' name and keep them in the name of Jesus. Lord, watch over them and keep them. Lord, continue to strengthen Elder Rogers and build her up and bless her family. And Lord, work things out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God for having all of you out tonight. Pray, Lord, just bless you real good. And see you.